Good morning, all. I hope you're well. This week, we'll be reading from the book of the prophet Joel, as we try to underscore God's call for us to repent. Hence, the focus for today is the necessity for repentance. As we have been observing the state of affairs in our country and the world by extension over the last couple of years, the call to repent rings true, sharp, and poignant. Like many, we have suffered needlessly and insurmountably at the hands of people who practice crime and violence, a disregard for rules and authority, corruption in almost everywhere, immorality, sexual perversion and exploitation, classism, and more so, an unhealthy fixation on racism, oppression, albeit passive, possessive, or predatory oppression, domestic violence in various forms, outworkings of evil, evidence in the killing, abuse, trafficking, and rape of our children, men, and women, and an ardent thirst for power. For these things, the call to repent is resoundingly clear. Joel bellows in chapter 1:14. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. And later he echoes what has been a defining statement which shaped and has a lasting impact on the Christian church. Joel 2:12-13. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garment. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. The prophecy of Joel is known through its use of the phrase, the day of the Lord, and when the Lord said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, which is often quoted by many writers, and even used in the first sermon, given when the Holy Spirit started the early church on the day of Pentecost. Not much is known about Joel, except for what is given in the book, and that his writings are influential, since they are cited by Isaiah and Amos, among others. It is often met with difficulty in trying to date this prophecy, since no specific kings or superpower nations are mentioned. But we know that his prophecy was addressed to the kingdom of Judah. One unique thing about his prophecy is that no specific sin or list of sins are given, unlike his contemporaries, and this makes the message and the call to repent not time-bound, and as such, a vital call for us today, given the sinful practices of our day. Joel's prophecy is about the day of the Lord. For Joel, the day of the Lord is when all people are to appear before the Lord and give an account for their actions. A day when God renders obsolete the power of the powerful, nullifies the strength of the oppressive, and judges everyone with swiftness, certainty, and finality. Joel describes the propensity for a nation to be bent towards evil, and when nations enact that evil towards God's people. Joel shows the damning effects of those actions, which he attributed to the plague of locusts, and then a clarion call to repentance, which results in restoration and restitution, and then God's final and decisive judgment on all people. Joel also describes the effects of evil and wickedness by using the destruction left by the plague of locusts. Joel used the imagery of this destruction to highlight that the destruction left by the plague of locusts and the actions of persons practicing evil are one of the same. What is left is gloom, angst, and suffering. Entire peoples, homes, families, industries, economies, livelihoods, and church life are all affected by evil. Joel says in chapter 1:11-12, be ashamed, O tillers of the soil. Wail, O vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine dries up, the fig tree languishes, pomegranate, palm, and apple, all the trees of the field are dried up, and gladness dries up from the children of men. What lessons can we learn from Joel's prophecy and his use of the imagery of the destruction from the plague of locusts, as with the effects of evil which will usher in the day of the Lord? The first is that we all have a part to play in the current state of affairs of our country. Now is not the time to play the blame game, to point fingers and condescend anyone or group of persons. We all have a part to play in shaping and changing our nation, and for the better. We have to do our due diligence in evangelizing and preaching Christ as the only way, truth, and life. That to know Him is to have life and true freedom. Freedom from sin, its trimmings and trappings, and its penalty. It is one thing to survive in this climate of hurt, suffering, and angst. It is another to contend with all that is happening. And it is entirely a different thing when we all seek to change the present conditions. Joel's prophecy addressed all inhabitants of the land, for them to listen and take note of all that has happened. The same is true for us. We all have to look, listen, consider what is taking place, and then act. The kind of action Joel envisions is the same we should do, and that is a wholehearted, genuine repentance. And this is the second lesson. If at all we are going to change our present circumstances, repentance is necessary and is the first step in this change. Again, this call to repent is necessary, resounding, clear, and poignant. This call to repent is straightforward and real. It means change, real change, true change, change of mind, change of heart, change of life, and change of direction. The text calls us to rend our hearts and not our garments, to return to the Lord our God. We cannot just say, I repent, offer prayers or lip service, do ritualistic things, pretending to repent and then go back to things as usual. Things definitely have to change. We have to change. There is an unwarranted practice that after we have faced destruction and help comes, we go back to our old ways. That same way are those same ways that cause the destruction. Joel calls us to change our ways and return to the Lord. Acts 3 verse 19 says, repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. For Joel and for us, repentance is not a facade or pretense. It is not something we do for God to do something for us. It is not mere scenes, a stunt, a formality, or a ritual. We are called to repent because we need to change, and our communities, country, and nation need to change. For Joel, this repentance involves everyone. No one is exempt. All are to repent and return to the Lord. The same call is given in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Profoundly, Joel's call to repent is given to the people of God. Let repentance first begin with us. We are the ones who preach repentance and often consider ourselves exempt from it. So too did the corrupt priests in Israel's history, along with the religious leaders during Jesus' day. But as people of God, we have to come to terms with the striking and disturbing reality that repentance must take place with us, if at all the change we seek for ourselves, our community, country, and nation must happen. It is not time for religious practices or church words. Let us start the change, make the change, and wholeheartedly return to the Lord. Let us be serious about repentance, genuine repentance, the kind alone God desires, nothing more, nothing less. Let us drop the facade, drop the charades, drop the gimmicks. This country, our country, needs change. Repentance is the best place to start, and it begins with us. Let us repent, return to the Lord through fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend our hearts, not our garments. Amen.